Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. It is episode 126. The date is April 11th. It's Thursday at Augusta.
That's right. Hey, I actually think about the bit that Grant and Danny did with Jason all the time when Masters comes around, yeah. where they had him on, and they're doing golf shtick.
And he said he would never go on the show again.
Yes.
After he ran them.
The Masters reminds me of that all the time.
Was that a Masters tournament that he went on their show?
I believe it was the Masters. It could have been the U.S. Open. It's one or the other. But it's very vivid in my brain.
I would think that they would probably regret that.
I think they do too.
I think they maybe thought that it would go differently in their head. But also, Jason, come on.
Yeah, lighten up, Francis.
Well, look, it's a big day on the junkies. I mean, not only is it the Masters, and so you know where their attention is at, but also, I mean, breaking news this morning. I just thinking about what Valdez just referred to him as. Former running back and alleged murderer O.J. Simpson has passed away.
Yeah.
Or, in the words of Matt Valdez, an icon.
You mocked me for using that word, but icon
is the wrong word.
No, well, then what's the word I'm looking for here?
Infamous.
The infamous. He is an icon, though.
To who?
I think. I mean, part of his career was iconic. I mean, he's obviously most known for something else besides his acting chops.
Let me ask you something.
No pun intended when I say chops.
Is Chris Benoit an icon? No, that's the wrong word.
You can do something bad and still be iconic. Like Michael Jackson is still iconic. I'm not trying to debate you that O.J. Simpson was a good guy or not, but I will debate you that the word icon can be used for someone who did something bad.
Tweet that out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is O.J. Simpson an icon?
See if I get ratioed.
You know what? Obviously,
hey,
more.
That'd be our poll of the day. It's O.J. Simpson iconic.
You know what? It is a weird feeling. I know that you said that you didn't know how to feel about it. I'm definitely not sad that O.J. Simpson has passed away, but it is interesting that we are of the age where we saw this guy from being middle aged to death, basically. Like, remember all of that, where we saw him age until he was in his late 70s and he passed away due to cancer today. And it's not sad. It's just a little bit weird.
Yes. I equated it to like part of your childhood dying in a way, because everyone remembers the chase. Like, everyone remembers where they were. Everyone remembers the cutaway on TV to watch them, the helicopter and the Bronco. And it's iconic.
Hey, is that one of those things where people say they were there, but they really weren't there?
No. It's not that they were there.
Of course.
You mean they remember?
Are people are they misremembering? Everyone says they have a memory of O.J. Simpson in the chase. It's impossible that single person was watching TV.
Glued to the TV.
Yeah, he may have caught up later on or something like that, but
they may have mixed their memories of when they watched the news or something. But
it did cut into the NBA finals.
Yeah. I remember watching it or sitting there in the living room.
Here's why it's a little bit weird: is because on the show, O.J. Simpson was kind of a goof and fun, and the way of his sound bites.
Uh-huh.
Like he was so stupid on
Tiger
Twitter.
Sashimi.
In the Tiger Sashimi. Hey, Twitter world, all that. And just
hello,
like,
Twitter world.
We've been playing this, yeah. Even before Twitter, we've been playing clips of O.J. Simpson.
The gas face.
Ever since, at least I've been on the show, I'm sure much longer than that, where we always just got a kick out of his sound bites. So it's kind of weird that we had.
Now we
in the weirdest in the weirdest of ways, we almost had like a soft spot for a part of O.J. Simpson. Like we liked kind of like that goofy character part of him. Obviously, mm-hmm. a horrible human being, and what he did, or he made a horrible choice. But now he's dead, and so it's like just kind of weird. Right.
Yeah. We milked them for content. Right. Yeah. And then now there's no more milking for content. I kind of get what you're saying.
I do. And I have to say this. I respect the way he went out. Is that well, because
just not announcing yes, it to the Twitter
pretty
world.
Much denying yeah. it. Remember like a couple months ago where they said he was in hospice and he did the video, said hospice, we talking about hospice. And then he like did that weird laugh and drove off or whatever. And, you know, I kind of in a weird way, not that like everyone is different, but I respect those that get cancer and then just pass away and don't make a big deal.
Yeah,
out
yeah.
of it.
They go quietly. The strong silent type.
Yes. And look, if you're Ron Rivera and you ring the bell and you got videos made of you, that's fine too. But I respect.
Yeah, OJ wasn't ringing a bell.
OJ went gracefully.
I have a couple of questions about OJ. How much would you want to get into that fantasy league? Because they got a spot open.
Well, no. Now that OJ's no longer in, I have no interest in that.
I kind of want to see the people that were in the league with
the low lives, Vegas low lives that he was hanging out with.
Hey, you know what? Now they can actually start trying to win instead of letting OJ win.
Yeah.
And do you think OJ got one last round of golfing?
Well, he did say a couple months ago in that video or one of the videos. I think his last video I was on the Super Bowl. He was like giving his predictions, and he said. I'll be out on the course soon. And he didn't look great. Like he was sitting in a chair and he didn't look good.
Oh, you think doctor's orders to kind of
I'm going to say he didn't get one last round in. I'd say his last round was maybe in the fall or something. Look, isn't it weird to think about when people pass away, you don't often think about like heaven or hell or, you know, where they're at. But you're literally the first thought ever in everyone's mind is today is... I mean, he's entering the gates of hell right now.
Yes.
Right?
You know, it exhausted him looking for the real killer.
I wonder, do you think that he, on his deathbed...
Made a deathbed confession?
Yes. I mean, he definitely had a deathbed.
It would be the greatest thing in the world that after his death was announced, he made a video for the commissioner of the league.
God, he really loved this fantasy league.
He gave a video... and maybe in his will and testament.
Open
after death. Mm-hmm. Like one of those lock boxes. Mm-hmm. And then there's the knife.
Oh, the knife. I was just thinking you were going to say a letter admitting to it.
Well, it could be either or. Mm-hmm. It would be more dramatic if it was the knife that all of a sudden just went missing. Right?
That'd be one hell of a hiding place that he went back to.
In his storage locker.
Yeah.
But that would be one hell of a way to go out.
Maybe it's like Shawshank Redemption.
He
left a note in under the oak tree, the black rock.
Yeah.
All right?
Say Watanabe.
Yeah.
And Buxton, the town of Buxton, there's an oak tree. And you're going to find an unearthly, a rock that has no earth. No presence on earth to be there. I forget the line.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be iconic. You think about the way... Well, think about it. That would be such a splash. You'd be remembered forever. Mm-hmm. Remembered forever if you did that.
Do you think OJ wanted to get it off his chest before he died?
No.
I mean, he clearly knew he was dying.
Well, I think he's so much of a sociopath that he convinced himself that he didn't do it. That, for instance,
you've
gone around lying your entire life.
If you believe it, it's not a lie.
Yeah, you believe the lie that you start telling. So I think that kind of consumed OJ, and that he didn't have any kind of grief about it. He didn't want to get it off his chest. Mm. He didn't seem like it burdened him. Does that? Would you agree
100%.
With that?
100%. And I would have to say, it would be a disappointment if there is no hell for O.J. Simpson. at this point. You know what I mean? Like if OJ just dies today and he goes into the dirt and there's just darkness and there's nothing and there's no, basically there's no punishment, that would be disappointing.
Because of all the people that would have to be punished, it was him. Hey, do you think, how do you think the obituary is going to start? Do you think they're going to say NFLer, former NFL great, Heisman winner,
father, yeah, father,
actor?
Yeah.
You sleep on his acting.
Well, I know the obituary will not mention any sort of trial or what happens if it says, what do they say? Preceded in death. By wife Nicole.
Whoa! Okay. Hey, you want to get clicks, right? You want your publication to get clicks? You write an obituary like that.
All right, that is.
Technically, it's true.
Well, ex-wife.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're technically divorced or not, but I think so.
Technically, it's true.
This is the horrible bet. Give me $2 if that's in the obituary.
I will give you $2.
Is that a great read by me?
I'll give you $2 if you find an obituary that says that. All right. That is a monster free roll.
But if the Simpson family did that, they would be monsters.
But also think about the celebrity of OJ too.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was the first real crossover sports celebrity, I feel like.
Where, what do you mean?
Like the
in your lifetime?
In my lifetime, he's the one that kind of blurred the line between sports and Hollywood. That's why I would consider the icon label. It would almost be as if he's Travis Kelce. You know what I mean? He's Travis Kelce.
He's as famous.
Before Travis Kelce,
He's more famous than Travis Kelce.
I would say. He's doing Naked Gun.
Worldwide.
When he's doing Naked Gun, this is pre-murder. He was Travis Kelce.
No, not that famous.
You don't think so?
Not that famous. No.
I would argue
he
is
a bit actor. You know, he did some roles here and there. I mean, everybody knew who O.J. Simpson was, and he was likable.
Just like everyone knows who Travis Kelce is.
Well, not that. I don't know. It was a long time ago, but
you really have to.
I mean, he wasn't an A-list actor. He was a bit character.
I know. Like Travis Kelce is not.
He was in commercials.
Wouldn't be an A-list actor. Travis Kelce's in commercials.
No, Travis Kelce is right next level right now.
If Travis Kelce didn't date Taylor Swift or broke up with Taylor Swift, would you say that they would be the same?
No, Travis Kelce wasn't that famous until he started dating Travis or Taylor Swift. Either way, maybe you're in the same ballpark. I don't know.
I think I'm sniffing around something, around a theory.
I mean, you're really going hard on this icon thing. I'm a little confused by it. I'm a little bit in mourning for the show because I like the bits, but you're actually like missing OJ the person or something.
No, I enjoy OJ for content purposes.
Yes, but I know, but you're.
I'm trying to revere him.
You're highlighting
him.
His football career.
I'm trying
his
to
acting
revere
career.
Him.
I mean, who gives a shit? The guy's a monster.
I know he's a monster. And I'm not sympathizing with him. I don't want you to think I'm an OJ sympathizer.
No, honestly, it sounds like you're a sympathizer. You're sympathizing.
I'm not.
you're a sympathizer.
Maybe you have no compassion in you.
I have lots of compassion, just not a lot for O.J. Simpson. But I'm in agreement that it's weird that there was a part of him that was charming. That's all I'll say.
He was charming.
Yeah.
Hey, this is going to be one last hurrah for the O.J. O.J. trivia that's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, is EB back in studio and then they'll talk about the court case.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Marsha Clark and Judge Ito and Cato Kalin.
Yeah.
All the names. Yeah, we'll get a couple of those.
Remember, didn't he say he hit it in his golf bag?
I've been disappointed in a lot of things about Eric Bickle over the years, but him admitting that he's forgetting his OJ trivia is almost at the top of the list, because I really held Eric in high regard for being a savant when it came to the OJ case.
And rapper real names, yes.
Years later, he knew still knew every detail of the case. And then like in the last 3 or 4 to 5 years, he's missing questions and he's admitting he doesn't remember as much as he used to. It's actually a big disappointment of Brett Bickle.
The brain's mush.
The brain is mush. He slammed into a wall.
I found it, I didn't know if you caught on to it, but yesterday's show after the interview with Chris Webber, Eric said, I'm going to remember that interview forever. And I immediately go, we should ask him a question about the interview when he comes back Friday. Hey, and he won't remember it for 2 days.
You know what we need to do? Because just like, who was it we talking about the other day when you said, they go, we've had him on the show?
Oh, John Calipari.
All right, Calipari, right.
That's a new junkies game. Has he been a guest?
All right. In 2 years, they will forget that Chris Webber was on the show.
Yes, I know.
All right. And then I want you to play the clip. I'm going to remember this interview forever.
I got to have that one ready to go. Yeah,
we got to have that ready to go. This is a totally inside bit that only you and me will remember. Okay.
So we're plotting a bit right now.
Yeah, for multiple years
down the road.
It might have to be longer than that.
Hey, well, we might have to put that on the machine just to have when anytime says, I don't remember this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember that forever.
It was disappointing that they didn't remember the Calipari interview because Calipari was awesome.
He almost had us convinced.
And like, also Eric saying that Calipari was boring. Like he was like, that's it. That's the video. Calipari is like one of the most charming, for better or worse, guys on the planet.
He's almost like a used car salesman. It's that kind of vibe where like he just talks to you and
he just very he's a smooth talker.
Yeah, schmoozes your pants off.
Whether it's authentic or not, I always get a kick out of Calipari. And they always trash Pitino. And Rick Pitino was on the show a couple years ago, and Pitino was silly.
He was? I don't remember the Pitino.
You don't remember Rick Pitino on the show?
I don't. Mm-hmm. That's a blind spot. I remember the Calipari interview vividly because I think the guys gave him like some pushback about one and doneers and all of his players going to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Calipari pushed back about how like he's looking out for the kids and how he grooms them and how he treats them like men. And I thought he came across very well. It's almost like if I had a kid, I would want him to play for Calipari. That's how he came across.
I could see my
burned in my brain.
There's just certain coaches that appeal to you. I could see being wanting to play for Calipari.
Yeah, oh, definitely. He made me want to run through a brick wall.
Yeah, as far as like players, coaches go, for sure. There was a lot of you know, look. I don't know why I just thought of this, but D. Woods kind of wrecked me today.
Why?
Well, he called in with his call, and then he said, first off, he called in, and I told him to call back later because he called. He wasn't listening to the show.
Okay.
All right. He called in at 8:40 during the Dylan Strome interview right before Ted Leonsis, and he said, I got a DM from somebody that told me to call in because Open Line Thursday sucks.
Whoa.
Yeah. First off.
All right. Hold on. Unpack that. What do you mean it sucks in terms of the caller?
Yeah.
Or the fact that we do it sucks?
No. Like, he said, I'm calling in because I was told that Open Line Thursday's been a bomb or something like, or going horrible or sucks. One of those words. I don't know. All right. So I was like, huh? And I go, well, we haven't even taken any calls.
Yeah. We didn't take today a single call.
And so what happened was, and I know exactly, somebody sent some bit. Person who only likes bits, who's one of the people that's annoyed that we talk football on the show, sent him and said, you need to call in. They're talking Jaden Daniels. By the way, we are talking Jaden Daniels or like 1 to 2 segments a show in a 12 segment show. And if you just listen to what people are saying, you would think that's all we talk about every single day. It's like one segment right now. And some days, maybe 2 or whatever it is.
Depending on what the news is and how important the news is.
Yeah. I mean, and so then he calls in and says, and then D. Wood says, enough of the Jaden Daniels talk. Today, he said, he's got a beef with you and me for putting together the show outline and the rundown and saying we're doing. If D. Woods doesn't get it, I don't know who will.
That's a fantastic,
you know what I mean?
Point.
Then no one's going to get it. D. Woods has lost his fastball.
Whoa.
And he's off the Mount Rushmore of listeners.
Whoa.
And he's no longer invited in,
I was gonna
to
say,
be a co-host.
Is D Woods going to lose his inner circle card?
Well, you've given him a lifetime pass to be a co-host when I'm absent, and I'm actually gone next week, so maybe he'll be back in here. I don't know.
Hey, are you setting this up to respond, for him to respond next week? I appreciate you giving me content for next week.
You're welcome. No, but on a 0 to 10 scale, on my Rickness scale, that was about a 3.
Uh-huh.
But I felt it was unneeded from D Woods.
It was an unnecessary.
I mean, come on, you understand,
shot.
Dude. We're 2 weeks before the draft.
He's just trying to do yuck yucks. He's trying to be funny. And then,
I know, but also you need me. You need me to liven up the show. Never goes well for me. Like, I never look like I'm silly on that.
You want to get hung up on?
Yeah. I thought about. Actually, I think I said hang
you
up said, on.
Yeah,
him.
You told me to.
Yeah.
I had my finger on the button, D. Drab, it was hovering. Drab told me to. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Hey, are you actually? I'm a little mad at D Woods too.
Oh, all right. Let's pile on here.
He. Do you know the comment he made that angered me
today?
Yes, during his call-in.
No,
he said, I know what Valdez does. Like my thoughts are predictable. Like
he
like,
knows you're zagging about what though.
I don't like the Morgan Wallen thing. So instead of calling him an awful human being and berating him and giving him a tongue lashing, I said I want him to be a drunk a-hole.
Because you're right.
So D is saying that my fastball has become predictable.
Oh, you're like a barstool.
Yeah, I am like barstool. Hey,
as you vent about how barstool is predictable.
I know. It made me look in the mirror and think about things. Mm. And I don't understand.
Well, you can't be a new person every single day.
I know. But can I vent about this for a second?
Yeah.
I don't know how you or anyone else doesn't understand my beef with Barstool content.
As the week has gone on, I'm going to be honest with you, I've understood it even less.
Even less?
Even less, Valdez.
You don't understand.
Even less.
I don't know how I can't explain this even more.
You don't need to. I know what you're trying to say.
What?
I just reject it. In fact, I don't even want to dignify that comment with a response. It's so ridiculous from a content creator such as yourself.
But this is also part of it. I would not try to annoy other people around in the sake of creating content.
But they're in an arena where everyone's just screaming and yelling.
I know.
And how do you know they're being annoying?
Because I can imagine if I was sitting next to this person.
In their suite?
No,
in Dave Portnoy's suite.
Okay, well, it's the suite. I understand. You're not harming anyone in the suite. But when PFT Commenter is at the Barclays Arena for
yes, and he was crapped. He was talking crap, and that was they were fighting over video. They were fighting.
I know
over,
they. I know they weren't.
PMT was being a jerk.
Yeah, I know that, but I can't imagine just. I would be distracted from the game. Maybe I'm an idiot.
I think you might be. I think that you don't understand that.
You see, you think I don't understand content? I don't. I find it annoying.
It may not be for you, but it's to not. Say that you don't understand it is what is ricking me.
I
have no problem with it. You saying that's not for me. But you kept saying I don't understand it.
I don't understand the appeal of why you would watch someone. In the stands.
I know, but you said, I don't even understand why they bought the guy a seat.
Well, I guess
I'm like, what are you, offended they took up a seat in an arena?
I kind of am.
But they paid for it.
I know they paid for it. I understand capitalism.
I think, you know what, I think a younger Valdez would have understood it more. I think you're getting to the age where you're comfortable and that you no longer push the envelope anymore and that you just are checking a punch in, punch out kind of guy and your creativity is lacking.
God, you want to off Dave Portnoy so well.
No,
so
I don't even understand. You keep saying that like I want to, Drab wants to go work for Barstool. Nobody hates New York more than me.
Well, they have an office in Chicago.
I don't want to move to Chicago either. Okay, I couldn't have less interest in working for Barstool. Now, I don't even love everything that they do necessarily. Definitely not everything that Portnoy
does. Well, then why don't you understand? Why don't you understand what I'm saying here? I don't like everything they do. I like some stuff they do.
This is what I think. Sometimes, I think you believe you should be Dave Portnoy.
What?
Yes, that you are smarter and more creative than Portnoy, and that you have them figured out.
I do have them figured out.
And their bits are beneath you. That's what I think.
Okay, hold on.
And I think you believe that, like, the spotlight should be on you, that you're the creative mind, and that you need more appreciation for your bits. But in reality, they're outbidding you. And they're outbidding me, but I'm not hung up on it. I think you want acknowledgement for being the bit master, and you got competition, and you're the nail, they're the hammer,
I'm not the bit master.
You're not the bit master.
No.
I think you've called yourself Matt Bitmaster Valdez maybe a million times before,
and now you're just fibbing.
I think you believe that you're the greatest mind.
I think your nose just poked me in the eye. No, it's growing.
I'm being serious. I think deep down that you want more acknowledgement
for
your creative mind, and you aren't getting it. And when someone else, you're like the WNBA players that won't give Caitlin Clark her
flowers.
Shine. You're jealous.
I'm jealous.
I think you're jealous of the attention that Barstool gets.
Well, I've always.
I mean, you came in here today crapping all over Jersey Jerry again,
and their
miniature golf thing.
No, I think
you hate Frank.
You hate everybody at Barstool.
You hate Portnoy.
You're putting words in my mouth. And by the way, I consume the content. And I enjoy some of their content, but I have them pegged. Like Frank's going to miss a putt on the mini golf thing, and then start going crazy.
I know, but
Dave Portnoy is going to blame somebody else for his shortcomings.
I know.
It's just they have a playbook.
We have a junkies playbook.
I know we do.
We poke Eric until he starts screaming. Right? Like, we have a playbook, too, because that's what we get a kick out of, and that's what the listeners get a kick out of.
I'm trying to point out...
I mean, anytime...
I'm trying to point out the playbook, and that's all I'm doing. And for whatever reason, and I don't understand this, for whatever reason is, you're never allowed to be critical of Barstool. Like, you're either...
Well, everybody's critical of Barstool.
No. You can like stuff, but you can think some stuff sucks... But it's either like you're either for us or you're against us.
Oh, you're the stoolie thing. Okay.
That's like you're either riding with us or you're a hater. I can think if some of their content sucks some of our content sucks.
First off, you're more of a stoolie than me.
I know I am.
You listen to all their podcasts.
I don't do any of that. I know. I listen to it. I try to come up with ideas for the show.
All right. I'm going to write you a check right now.
Okay.
I want you to move to New York. I'm Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy.
I'm Valdez. I want you to move to New York.
Hey, I've been following you. I've been following you.
I really appreciate your honesty. I think you're going back and listening to some podcasts.
You're creative.
The New York office is boring. You got no creativity there.
Need some juice.
I'm going to fire Clemmer. I want you to be the new Clemmer, Valdez.
You want my scoliosis?
I'm going to pay you... $175,000 a year.
Okay.
If you want to live in Manhattan, that's fine. If you want to live in Queens or whatever, it's up to you. But I'm extending you an offer today to quit the junkies and move to New York to work for Barstool and be one of our faces in the New York office.
Content creator for the New York offices.
You have 10 seconds to accept.
Okay.
Do you want to work for Barstool? Barstool Idol.
Barstool Idol. All right. There's a big factor in here.
Okay.
Our company.
What company?
Odyssey.
What about it?
I think Barstool might have a longer runway.
Well, that's part of your decision.
Okay.
It sounds like you're accepting.
I would say yes. I would say yes. Mm. Why? You're going to turn down that offer?
I think I might. But look, we're different circumstances. First off... I don't want to live in New York.
I don't want to either.
Maybe I do. I might do that for Chicago.
I would have to view it as a career opportunity.
Here's why I wouldn't want to move to Bar. I don't want to have to go there and try to fit in.
Yeah,
and make friends and then
have to watch office politics.
Yeah, and all that. So, like I'm already comfortable.
I definitely don't like playing the office politics game.
It's not office politics. I don't want to have to like earn my
earn your keep.
Yeah,
you have view quotas that they're
or just like try to charm people all over again. So like start from scratch and try to recharm people, and then you're the lowest man on the totem pole, and then you gotta.
I will say, isn't 175 light for New York though?
Oh, I'm sure it is. That's why. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say 600,000. Of course, you would have taken it.
I might have to recalculate.
You could get an apartment.
I might have to recalculate.
All right.
I would live with Stu Feiner.
Well, I'm sure Stu's got a nice house. I'm sure you could get a nice apartment for $4,000 a month or something, Manhattan. I have no idea.
But I have been seeing people critical of me. Dude, you're on the TV for a radio show.
I know. Literally just dumped pizza sauce all over cakes as a bit. And you came in here dressed like an offensive Italian outfit.
That was not offensive. Okay. Man, I'm part Italian.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah. okay.
Well, you're equating the pizza dump, the marinara sauce dump, to someone being filmed watching a game.
Your pizza dump was more offensive than that. You ruined the carpet down here.
I cleaned it.
We had to get in a professional cleaner in here to soak the whole thing up.
Hey, I am actually, I'm floored. I am floored that you put the pizza dump on the same level in terms of creativity.
I know.
With watching a game in the stands.
I know. Here's why you've lost your fastball. You don't understand live streaming. You just missed it. You're not a Twitch guy. You're not a YouTube guy. You don't understand the demand for it. And when you say it's stupid, well, maybe to an old head like you, it is. But to us younger guys, we get it.
This is all about you thinking that you're young and cool. And him. Draft thinks he's trendy, so
I don't want you to go in the direction of
you don't want me to become an old codger shaking his fist at the clouds.
I don't want you to be like Cakes, right? Who doesn't understand, who doesn't know who destroying is, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to be so unplugged from the rest of the world that you're just you become an old man.
All right, maybe live streaming.
Do you think Cakes knows who?
I know. I already know what you're going to say. This is why our show is so good. Because I already know the words that are going to come out of your mouth.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say, Cakes know who Drewski is.
You got me so figured out.
I have you so pegged, so figured out. But in terms of like, if we're talking about content.
Mm-hmm.
Drewski is 1,000 times more creative.
Drewski's a 10.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Like, if you compare the stuff that he does to sitting in the stands clapping for a game, it's night and day. There's no... I mean, one is just... It takes so much more creativity, so much more thought than literally have... And it's also... It's self-absorbed.
All right, well,
that's my biggest problem with it.
Okay,
that I don't understand. It's so self-absorbed that you feel like, and I understand celebrity.
That's what people want.
I know, and I don't understand that.
You don't understand that people.
I don't understand that people want to watch you watch something. I don't understand it. It's foreign to me.
Again. It was your idea to have a Ravens playoff watch party.
I know. I was ripping it off. No. I understand that people like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't appeal to me. And if you want to do a gambling cave or, you know, stream of yourself watching the game, okay. I'm probably not going to check it out. And if you want to watch it, good for you. It's not my cup of tea, and I don't understand why you like that. But to interfere with what people are enjoying in the moment, that's what ricks me.
Do you know what this?
That's what
this is why you don't understand it. There's two things at your core: A, you're not a computer guy, and B, you're not a video game guy. Like you don't even. you don't have a computer at home. You have a laptop that every time I ask you to bring in a laptop, you got to like dust off this thing from 2009. All right. I don't know. I honestly don't know how you do your life. You get all your entertainment comes from like streaming TV shows or what's on your phone.
Yeah.
You don't play video games. You don't play video games. You don't have a computer. So you're not on Twitch. You're not on YouTube streaming. You don't know anything what's going on in any of that world. It's just so foreign to you because you're,
I'm unplugged.
You're unplugged. Yeah. You're just, it's like,
why is that? That shouldn't be wrong. Being unplugged.
You know how maybe the junkies,
we need more people.
We're
going to
talk about this next. You know how the junkies have no intellectual curiosity is yeah. the phrase of the week.
Yeah.
You have no, technological curiosity.
I like
just,
tech.
You're just like sticks
stone,
and stones.
I'm Stone Age.
You're Stone Age. That's why you're still working in radio.
Yeah, I think it's medium, actually. It's important.
All right, we got to the bottom of that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back, and we'll get into the junkies not being interested in the eclipse, which Rick Valdez and I.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 126. Hey, I got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. I had one this morning. Don't Sleep supports Bit Season, supports me, supports Drabby. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. Drabby, before we went to the break, you mentioned the eclipse, which was a big ordeal. Monday throughout the country, but it sparked something that we noticed about the junks in general and something they're lacking. The lack of, how do we dub it, intellectual curiosity?
JP said the phrase intellectual curiosity numerous times, so we'll go with that.
Okay, so the lack of that curiosity seems to be a weird way to go through life. I think that's a good way to put it. I think the junks, all they want to do is do the show, go home, sit on the sofa, and then basically come back to work.
I it's tough to argue with that. There's the charm of the junkies, and this is part of their charm, but it's also part of the inferior. It just infuriates you as a normal human working with them or just listening to them. The fact that they can be so just turn their brain off to things around them that are happening in the world. You're like, oh my God, are you alive? Like, are you awake? How do you not have any sort of
it's like they had a
wonder? Like where is your wonder in life? Like, what are you living for? Sometimes I don't really understand what their purpose in life is. I know I just got like really deep there, and I didn't really mean to, but they brag about being stupid. Okay, and like every once in a while,
we're not the smartest people.
No.
You're not trying to say.
They're just as smart as me. No. They're smarter than they're all four of them. Well, maybe are smart. Woke up the day they were born smarter than me.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to clarify because someone's going to misconstrue. Drab called everyone stupid.
No,
I know, but I'm.
They're all born gifted. They don't apply themselves, and they don't have any wonder in life. And that frustrates me because that is what life is all about, is curiosity, right? And and learning and educating. EB, so they were talking about the eclipse, right?
Yeah.
And then JP used the phrase, I don't have any intellectual curiosity. And EB said to him, your life is almost over. You don't have any time for that. And that knocked me out of my chair because that is especially towards you as you get older, when you stop trying to be so cool or you don't have so many commitments,
this is
really when you open yourself up and you, that's when you read a lot, or that's when you can, you want to like go visit museums and you want to learn about history and the way things work. Right. So you have a better appreciation for things as you get older in life. Not, it's almost like going in reverse for them. As the older they get, the more they just like get turned off to the world and my phrase of the day, the wonder of it.
This is what makes me kind of angry about their attitudes, towards stuff and their wanderlust.
Yeah.
Is like, and I don't know, and maybe it's just their brains and how they're wired, but like, if I, like if you got to do something and got to experience something that's cool, they think about the process to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like it's always about the process.
Yeah, so like if I said, hey, you know, you get to go to the Grand Canyon, get a helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not, oh wow, that's going to be kind of cool, I've never seen that before.
It's challenges first. What are my challenges?
The challenges of it. All of a sudden hit their brain. I have to get out there. I hate flying. I don't want to be in a helicopter that long.
Am I going to be pampered?
Am I? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to, how long am I going to be up there for?
But that shouldn't, I understand some of that, but that shouldn't stop them from being educated, right? You can't be into everything, right? Like if you aren't into the eclipse, okay, that's fine. There's a lot of people who aren't into it, but you got to be into something. Right? You can't just be completely turned off to all new information out there. I guess EB has a curiosity with conspiracy theories and
golf.
And being lied to. No, I'm not counting sports.
Okay.
I'm talking about something outside.
Something other than sports.
Sports or family.
Uh-huh.
I guess EB has a curiosity. Cakes has none. Like literally nothing. I'm not counting poker. You cannot count poker. That's not an educational thing. That's a game.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Lurch, I don't know. I don't think there's much. All right. Okay. JP.
So much sports.
So outside of his kids, outside of his family, I don't know. I really don't know.
Like they don't have a hobby.
And I don't like the path EB's going down. I don't think anybody really loves it. But at least he's into something.
All right. Well, what would be yours?
I think I'm multifaceted. I'm open to anything. Like I would love, you want to take me to a zoo? I'll go to a zoo. I just took my kids to the Air and Space Museum. I loved it.
Brad's a big museum guy.
I like museums. Plays. I would go to any play in the world. I like theater.
Would you go to an art gallery?
I stared at the dumb sun.
My eyes still hurt from it.
I was trying to get my, we have once a month, we have cleaners come to our house. They don't even speak English. I was dangling those glasses in front of them. I said, come outside. Let's look at the sun. And then I put the glasses. They said, no, we're working. I grabbed her hand. I brought her outside. I wanted them to experience it a little bit. It's something cool. Like go home and say like, oh, did you see that today? And I wanted to do the same thing. My wife is kind of the same way about the junkies. I'm always trying to get her like, curious about something like, you got to know a little about the lock valleys.
That is the phrase of bit season.
You got to know a little about a lot.
You strike me as the kid that loved field trips.
Of course. Who doesn't love field trips? No. You want to sit in a classroom all day?
No, but I'm saying.
Observational learning.
you're big on that, aren't you?
Yeah.
What? What are you doing? Are you trying to learn a new language? Hey, have you finished your book that you said you were
supposed to read? Comanche book? I'm still on page 30. But honestly,
you did a whole diatribe of this.
I know. Yeah, that is true, but
Did I catch you?
No, because I have no free time. Like, okay. I have honestly no free time. I know that sounds stupid. Everybody's got free time. I hate when people say things about their kids and then I'm just in a bad beat right now. Like, after when I get home from working out or whatever, then it's just my life sucks because it's just Mr. Mom. But
would you consider that a hobby? Is the working out to better yourself?
No.
That doesn't count?
No, I'm talking about.
You're talking about brain workouts.
Brain workouts, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a puzzle guy.
I like puzzles.
Yeah, you strike me as a puzzle.
I like puzzles. I go to Barnes & Noble and Target, and I always stare at those puzzles for a long period of time. We got puzzles up the wazoo in my house. No, but I try not to be turned off by anything without some sort of looking into it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I understand completely what you're
saying. There's some things that are so far over my head that I just can't grasp the concept of, and I know.
Yeah, but if someone said, hey, Drab, there's this cool, you really should look into pottery. Pottery is a fun hobby. You wouldn't be like, I'm never going to do that. It's too dirty. I don't want to. You would consider it.
I would say I would say my interest in Space Valdez is about a 3 or 4 out of 10, right? Uh-huh. How many times, though, have we brought up space stories on this show and they have, it's like begging them to show us a smile. You know what I mean?
A pulse.
We send that giant gold mirrored thing into space. They came back with all the photographs. Uh-huh. They didn't care. They launched a Tesla into space or a rocket into space or whatever it is.
Elon's doing another rocket launch.
Yeah. Or the landing of the rockets, all by whatever. This like no curiosity. The sun, the moon's blocking the sun. Nobody, you can't even be bothered to look. You literally can't be bothered to look up. That's all I'm at. Just look up. Just look up.
Hey, what about? Are you a history buff, or do you revere?
No,
do you revere history?
Well,
buffs?
I'm a social studies Mark Valdez.
I liked social studies.
I always brag about finishing second in the geography B in the sixth grade.
Yeah, you definitely
did. I didn't make the all school final, but it was an interest of mine, all right? And I knew enough to fake my way through it, or at least to impress people for a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So I always put geography and history and where things are and kind of the whole thing. But when JP said he overheard a history major, and he goes, a history major? Who would do that? Okay, I can maybe honestly kind of see that, like, that's maybe not the best choice for making money later in your career, but there are things you can go, I mean, literally almost everybody in it's called political science. Like people who study history work on the Capitol Hill here. Right. Yeah. So there are things, of course, that you can do with it. But then JP followed it up with who I overheard them talking about getting a history major. Who would do that? And then he said, I have no interest. Who would have interest in history?
Oh, JP said that?
JP said. Then he said, I think they were talking about German history. As if that's not important, right? Maybe. Yeah. Just the complete wrong thing to say. Right? When you're talking about, if there's any sort of history we should know about, we should probably know a little bit about German history, right?
Yeah, we should probably know what to not do.
And why is history important? So you don't make the same mistakes, right? And you can learn about mistakes from the past, and you can learn about how things worked, and you can make advancements.
Well, just to JP, history is just not practical in terms of
his
life,
but it's certainly practical in the development of this country in the last 150 years.
I would agree.
I mean, there's just no curiosity. The bragging. It's like saying an adult.
It's like coming home with getting a D on your test and like bragging about it. Mm. That's not something you would brag about.
It's bragging about saying, I don't read. Who reads? Reading's for losers.
Oh, it's jock mentality.
It's jock mentality.
Jock mentality.
It's poison.
It's stuffing a nerd in a locker.
They're stuffing nerds in lockers. They're still there. They're still at Roosevelt.
It's cool.
Or DeMava.
It's cool to, being smart is not cool.
That always goes back to that.
By the way, that was such a big thing in the 70s, I feel like.
70s and 80s.
Yeah. And then towards the 90s and 2000s, being smart was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, what's that? Oh, Jump the 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
The remake with Channing Tatum and who was the
Hill. Jay, same sort of the J.
I forget his
Jonah
name.
Hill.
Jonah Hill, yeah. And then they went the jock was the cool kid. Mm-hmm. And then in the second part they realized the jocks weren't cool anymore. The smart kids are now the cool guys. That's what's happened over history, I feel like.
But why haven't they adapted?
No, they're not understanding. They didn't see the evolution. They didn't see the evolution of the smart kid being popular. They're still in the mindset of jock, cool, nerd, a smart kid, nerd, dork, no friends, no girlfriend.
I can, there will always be, I guess, some sort of mentality of that way, right? Where, you know, nobody wants to be a dork. But being smart doesn't mean you're a dork. Or being learned doesn't necessarily mean you're a dork.
Okay.
And you can't get any or anything like that. I think that's what all goes back down to.
It all boils down to
You're right. I just don't under. And look, I went to ASU. I have no, I'm not at any point thinking that I'm like some smart guy and I got it all figured out or I aced high school and college and all that. No, my work speaks for itself. Yeah, I'm an Arizona State graduate who's been working in radio for 20 years.
I'm actually an underachiever.
I probably am an underachiever, but I still have curiosity.
You definitely have curiosity.
And so I just wish that would change about him a little bit, even though it can be charming at times.
I'm actually envious of your curiosity. I think I have some, but I don't have it at your level. You trump everyone with curiosity, I feel like.
That's one of the nicest things you've said to me. We butt heads a lot and we like to join each other that you actually made me feel good there for a second.
Well, here, say something nice about me now.
Hey, I really, I've been noticing how the work you've been putting in the gym has really been paying off.
Thank you. Same to you, brother. Hey, I will say that does grind my gears though.
What?
When Eric compliments you nonstop.
I know. I knew it did earlier this week. You were very quiet.
Well, I was letting you.
You were sulking.
No. I was letting you have your shine.
Yeah. Well, he called me emasculated. I don't. And first of all, I'm not emasculated, and that's not a term
you
that
mean
I'm going.
Emaciated.
Emaciated. What's emasculated? Oh yeah. I'm sure I'm emasculated.
You're that.
Too.
You're
emaciated.
Like,
yeah.
You're that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm bald. Oh, yeah. Big dummy drive.
Yeah. It's very learned over there. Yeah. Hey, what book did you read? That one in.
It's a little mix up. Yeah, a little mix up, no big deal.
Hey. Speaking of school,
mm-hmm.
we touched on the article briefly today about Lunchables not being allowed.
Should have been left in the binder. JP brought that up. With 90 seconds left in the segment after Cakes talked about. What's Cakes talking about?
I don't know. Were they talking? Hey, did you know they're doing the alt broadcast?
Oh, yeah. I think it was. It was like, guess Maya, what I'm doing on Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday. That was a good topic that they wasted with a minute left in the segment. That was in the binder for 2 days and that they didn't want to do. And so they did it with a minute left.
It's inside baseball, but we do like to see how many times we can put a story in a binder and how many times they will glance over it without.
You know what I think? Why they weren't into it? I don't know if Lunchables were a thing.
It's only
in the 80s.
Maybe not.
So they didn't have any interest in it because I don't think they ever really ate Lunchables.
So Lunchables, I didn't realize that they were sold at schools. Is this after us that they were sold?
Probably. And I'm sure they were sold at high schools maybe back in the day. I don't even know how kids' schools work now. Can you go to?
I don't know. I was floored when Mar said lunch costs $3.50. That shocked me.
What, in high school?
Yeah, when he was in high school. And what, he's 24?
That's still a pretty good deal.
Well, it was $1.10.
Well, I know. That was a long time ago.
I know.
Someone tells you now you get lunch for $3.50. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Binomics.
Lunchables were launched in Seattle in 1989.
Oh.
Lunchables were launched nationally in 2003.
I'm surprised you don't have an affinity for them since they were.
No, I do. That's why maybe I did. You were, I just I was, assumed everybody maybe because I was eating Lunchables when I was a kid.
There was two Lunchables that I would get, mm-hmm. Or that my mom would buy, the pizza Lunchable, and then the one that has the ham and the cheese and the crackers.
Yeah, I know. I didn't appreciate your slimy comment today.
Well, they were so gross.
Well, they're gross to touch, but they're still pretty delicious.
I know,
when you eat them.
I mean, touch is a part of the eating process.
Yeah, the texture.
The texture of it, the smell of it, the taste of it, it all goes into one. If something looks unappealing, you're not going to eat it.
Which is kind of not ironic, but about this story that these Lunchables are filled with chemicals. And they're not suitable for children.
Well, didn't we assume that they were filled with chemicals? Yeah, because like, I mean, I have they're on the shelf for 3 years.
I have a very core memory. Not that I was super young, but I was like in middle school and I went to a Catholic middle school and elementary school. And there was like some Catholic counselors that came in or something like that, like cool kids from high school, from, I don't know, whatever, like youth group.
sounds like grooming.
All right. It might have been. All right. So it was like this group of like six guys. And I remember eating a Lunchable in front of one of the guys, the high school kids. And I remember him saying to me, "How can you eat that? You're going to get cancer when you grow up eating something that has so many chemicals in it."
Wow.
Right? And he goes, "Don't ever eat those things." And he goes, "The food is so processed. You should be eating real food." Now, look, I don't think that was like...
What year? I was going to say, what year was this?
Midnight before high school. So like 1994, 95, something like that.
Wow, that is...
Right.
The fact that he had that on lockdown in 94?
Yes. Like mid 90s, I'm eating the Lunchable.
That guy was based.
He was. He didn't care. And it stuck. Every time I've seen a Lunchable, even though I still eat them occasionally, I think about that guy telling me.
Would you ever feed them to your kids?
I remember every once in a while. I don't buy them a Tunch, but look, I'd be feeding my kids hot dogs and all that kind of other crap. So it doesn't really matter. I've always been a fan of Lunchables, but whenever I eat them, I think of that guy, random guy telling me that I'm going to get cancer when I get older because I eat Lunchables.
The real ones know this, the OG Lunchables is that the pizza Lunchable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You would save like the majority of the sauce and cheese and pepperonis for the last pizza in the Lunchable kit. You would make a super pizza out of all the ingredients in the pizzas. Also,
you know what? I think the age gap between you and me is telling here because I never ate those.
The pizza one.
Because when I was young, the only ones that were available were the turkey or the ham. Well, that maybe bologna.
I mean, that's...
So I was like in high school or college by the time the pizza and nachos came out. And I was like, well, I'm not eating that.
I've never seen a nacho one. You said a chicken nugget. I've never seen a chicken nugget one either.
Oh, but I would never. I just see them at the store.
Those are the only two that I know is the...
Should we do a little taste test tomorrow?
Oh, that's a great idea.
All right. We'll go get some today.
Get some Lunchables.
All right. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, I'll look for them in the store.
Hopefully they're on sale.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Hey, I'm gonna look for some expiring Lunchables. All right,
dude. Let me tell you, there's no better feeling than when you go to the store and you see those Lunchables on sale for like $10 for $10 or whatever it is, and you're like, oh my god, this is a steal.
All right, we'll do that tomorrow.
All right, do we have time? I think we have time. We'll find time. A little Lunchable segment.
Definitely.
All right.
Well, and I'll have Drab feel just how slimy the ham is.
I know, and I wanted the guys to get into some of their favorite lunches at school and stuff, but we didn't have time for that today.
Did you bring a lunch, or did you buy lunch?
No, I'm a hot lunch kid.
Okay.
Brown baggers are for for nubbers.
I used to be I was a brown bagger until high school. In high school, I bought lunch.
Yeah. In fact, I've never had a brown bag lunch in my life at school.
It was the most, every day.
Is it embarrassing?
No. Well,
are the big ballers hot lunch kids?
No, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing if you get breakfast at school.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. I think you're considered like an unwanted child.
Yeah, okay. Right, you're not fed at home. Yeah, somebody took notice of that. You're emaciated.
Yeah. You're emasculated.
Yeah.
And this was my daily struggle with lunch. I was related to the lunch lady.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Speaking of dorks.
I had to slither around the cafeteria to not be noticed. Because
somebody put this kid in a locker.
Yeah. So, and then also, I can say this, but she was off.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why would you tell people you were related to
them? I didn't.
It was a deep, dark secret.
It was a secret.
She would always call you out.
Yeah, she would come and come out. All right.
Did she have a mole with like hair growing out of it?
The biggest in the world.
Why do all lunch ladies have moles?
She had a Karen haircut killer, so short. All right. And she would come out with her hairnet. All right. And her short hair. Clothes are stained with sloppy Joe. And she would come out and then like put her arm around me while I'm sitting down at the lunch table. All right. And I already had to get real estate at the cool kids lunch table. And then, like, I would immediately have to get up and make something. And the guys go, does she know you? And I just say, yeah, I'm friendly to her in the line. I just make up some excuse. I could never tell anyone that I was related to the lunch lady.
Why do all lunch ladies look the same?
They all do. And then, like, you're waiting. And the problem is you won't know what line she's working that day. Mm-hmm. It was just roulette. And if you were in that line when she was in there, I mean, she would say, "Hi, Matt," just loud and everything. And hey, I would have to do everything I can to avoid her. I was a secret agent during the lunch hour.
Speaking of curiosity, I used to always before school wander into the cafeteria that was closed, but back into the kitchen. And I'd like to peek in and see, like, either what they were making for lunch and seeing
how many rats were in the back.
I was curious about how the sausage was made. And I'd watch them, like, fill up these big vats of containers with the making the dough and all that kind of stuff early, making the chili early in the morning. And I'd always just sit there and watch them for like 5 minutes. And then I'd wander back outside and wait for school to start on the, preschool recess or whatever it was called.
Did your lunch lady smoke?
No, but I have a connection in my small mind of the lunch lady and being the poorest lady in town, and so
I know that
she drove the biggest beater I've ever seen. Yeah, yeah. And her kid went to the school, and like I'm not trying to joan, but they were literally the poorest people I've ever seen in my life. And so I have this like brain connection to lunch lady, extremely poor.
Well,
I'm sure it's not far off.
It might be an accurate stereotype.
Right. Yeah.
Well, just there's always something off with lunch ladies.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, yeah.
That's what it 100%, is.
Yeah.
And then I'd see her at the family function.
Oh, right. What'd she bring to the potluck?
Yeah, I know. Hey, I stole some square Mexican pizzas.
Oh, God.
Hey, when I see her at Christmas, she'd say, "Hey, who wants a Mexican pizza?"
Oh,
who wants one of those square pepperoni pizzas that they have?
Hey, those always did hit home. The cafeteria pizza always hit home. Not hating on that.
She's bringing those weird yellow stuffings to your Thanksgiving feast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was those called?
Well, just the turkey days.
Oh, yeah, what was in it?
It was the turkey with the gravy over mashed potatoes with yellow stuffing and
gravy. That was that turkey gravy was the most liquid. It was so liquidy.
Well, they think they
99% water.
I was going to say they cut that gravy down so much to feed all the kids.
Yeah, of course.
You think, you must have went to a private school if you had that brown gravy.
Oh, no. It was very pale.
Well, I mean, it was very looked pale. Like your skin.
Yeah.
It was the color of your shirt. Oh, and the turkey chunks. It had to have been like turkey gizzards.
Hey, you know what, though? It hit the spot.
I know it did.
Turkey Day wasn't the worst day.
Hey, I used to get double lunches on turkey days. I would also, in high school, I would get up out of
class. I liked the mashed potatoes. It was always turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy on top.
Yeah, and the stuffing on the side with the ice cream scooper.
I feel like that was like a once a week thing.
No, once a month. It was the first
Thursday.
That was our
A1
first
lunch,
Thursday
turkey.
Of the month. And then the lunch ladies using the same ice cream scooper that they use for their ice cream to go put their stuffing on. That's fine. But I don't know. I would legitimately get up out of class, okay, to go walk down to go be first for turkey day for lunch.
You could leave class? Is this in high school?
Yeah, in high school. I used to get up. The class would end like
Close campus.
It was 11:55. Like the lunch bell would ring. And at 11:54, I would get up out
Excuse
of my
me,
seat.
Mr. Myers, where are you going? Oh, I got to be first in the lunch line. See my aunt.
Family reunion in the cafeteria. I would get up out of my seat, walk down there, first in the line.
Aunt Barbie's got a cookie for me.
It was Barbara.
I know. They're all the same. They're all the same.
It's true.
All right.
That was a fun episode.
All right, guys. Hopefully, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Masters.
Yes.
And, we'll see you on the Junkies tomorrow. And, hopefully we'll get number six for Tiger.
That would be nice.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's it.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.